Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Hi, I'm Anthony Kazan. I'm the Director of Testing and Student Accommodations here at Houston Baptist University. I'm going into my fourth year at the university. Love it here. It's just such a wonderful place to work. My wife and I moved here from we started in eastern Idaho, moved to western Idaho, and had a son living here in Houston, and we decided to come down and visit him. And my wife fell in love with the weather after spending a couple of winters in Idaho, and here we are, and we absolutely love Houston. We love Texas, love Houston Baptist University. We have, between my wife and I, we have 8 children. We just had our 15th grandchild, and we spend most of our free time outside of work is spent visiting kids and grandkids, which makes life beautiful for us. Testing and Accommodations is a department that provides services for students with disabilities. We offer accommodations to those students who have a documented history of a disability, and the types of accommodations we provide depend on that diagnosis. Can be something such as extended time, it can be flexibility with certain things, hard copy of notes. A lot of different types of accommodations, again, depending on the student and who's requesting the services, but that's my job, is to kind of evaluate their needs. The testing department is, we don't test for disabilities or dyslexia or anything like that. Our testing is high-stakes testing that involves proficiency tests, mostly for students who are going into nursing, education, engineering. We have math proficiency tests, nursing proficiency tests, language proficiency tests, reading proficiency tests. And then we have an environment, we call it an alternative environment, that many accommodated students need for testing needs of their own, where they need to have the option of being able to take a test in a quieter setting. So that's the testing side of what I do. I think that's about it.
That is a wonderful service that your department provides for Houston Baptist University, and I want to tell you how grateful we are to you and to those who work with you.
Thank you.
You know, when you have a disability, you should not be held back from an educational opportunity, any opportunity in America. That's what America is all about. I mean, tell us how you came into this position and why it fulfills you serving here at HBU.
Yeah, fulfilling is a good word. That's actually what got me started many years ago when I went to college. Kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and that was in the 70s, and at that time that's when all the special education and federal legislation started occurring and happening, and this field opened up, and it really clicked with me. And so when I work with students with disabilities, like you said, they deserve the opportunity to have a level playing field. And we're not trying to make things easier or different for them. Just being able to level that playing field for them so that they can access curriculum like everybody else. And, you know, many of these, when I grew up, that just didn't exist. It was kind of, you know, suck it up and do what you can do, which wasn't entirely fair. And so nowadays, I think fair is a good word. That's what we're trying to do. And fair doesn't mean treating everybody the same. It means giving that person what he or she might need. And that's what I try and do, is just work with, and I really enjoy working with faculty to support them in helping these students access their curriculum, because when they do, I think it makes the faculty feel good as well.
Can we talk about or highlight for a minute the various common disabilities that you encounter with students, and then how we build a bridge to them in whatever their need may be?
Well, common, one that most people have heard of is a learning disability or dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Probably the largest diagnosis that I see and have seen in my years of doing this. Autism is another, actually kind of a special thing to me. I've spent a lot of time working with students on the autistic spectrum and love to see them being successful at this level because they have such a unique personality to offer. We're seeing a lot more, and I'd say the last 15 or 20 years, more diagnosis of mental and psychological disorders, depression, anxiety, PTSD. I have a number of those students registered with me. And, you know, we have physical impairments, visual impairments, hearing impaired students that we can work with. I work with the Veterans Association here, have a number of those vets coming to school and have different challenges. And that's the idea of accommodations. In terms of bridging, you know, them or making a bridge between them and accessing curriculum, that's where things like extra time come in, giving them a chance to process. That's what we're really talking about with all these disabilities or mental or psychological conditions is something's impacting their ability to process language. And if we can give them some sort of support to be able to have the option or the ability to process, giving them more time to process the language, giving them a little bit of flexibility on due dates, giving them a hard copy of notes so that they can concentrate on listening to a professor as opposed to trying to do both listen and write. Recording lectures is another good option. And there's a lot of the difference between when I started doing this and now, or in the beginning and now, is technology. Technology's just been a huge part, a huge support for students to have textbooks that they can listen to, or you know, text to speech or speech to text. And so there's so many technology options out there too. That's been kind of fun to help students bridge that gap as well.
Let's take, for instance, some of the mental challenges or you talked about PTSD or depression. You know, I know this is kind of an area that's even spiked during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And here we are post-pandemic. So how do you ascertain exactly where a student's at and helping them on the road to healing, and obviously embracing an academic future that turns into a vocational career helps in a great deal?
Well, it starts with my most preferred method of kind of finding a way or a place to start is through conversation, having a conversation with the individual. You know, just talking with them, I really enjoy that part of what I do, being able to talk to them in a situation or an environment where they're very open to sharing. And then there's also a lot of documentation that they need to provide to me. And so their willingness to share that documentation and reading through that documentation really gives me a sense of where they've come from. So I can kind of develop an empathy as opposed to a sympathy. I don't think sympathy is always productive, but empathy is. And so I between talking with them, you know, via conversation, a lot of Zoom in my office when we can, emails, you know, it's really surprising how much these individuals are willing to share. And it's very, you know, for me, it's very touching, and I never tire of reading an individual's situation. And then it just kind of inspires me to want to be able to help them, or at least make an effort to help them you know, through accommodations or whatever I might be able to provide. And the great thing about Houston Baptist University is that we have a lot of resources here. It's not just me. Our Success Center, our TRIO organization, the Gideon Institute is a really good resource.
Our counseling center, here on campus.
And so a lot of what I do is pointing students in the right direction too. And so kind of getting a feel for who they are, empathizing where they've come from, and then just kind of connecting that to what they might need in the classroom or elsewhere too.
You know, Anthony, I've also have such a heart for young people that are on drugs or depressed. I was a pot smoking called freak in my day, and you know, almost ended up committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And in my case, thank the Lord, I had a few loving people who introduced me to Christ, and real transformational. So when I see young people today that are depressed or doing drugs, whatever, you know, the old saying of Lincoln's son, when he was standing in the White House and they were wondering what are they going to do with these defeated Southern troops, and everybody was saying, hang them, hang them. Mm-hmm. And Tad, the boy, reached up to Lincoln and said, don't hang them, hang on to them. And that's I always awesome. Feel like, man, we got to hang on to everybody we can. And because we see illustration after illustration of individuals that had challenges, doesn't matter what they are, who through mentors, through loving people, powered through them. Mm-hmm. And you're motivated to do this. I mean, I was motivated to go speak on over 2,000 high school campuses and tell my story, you know, in my 20s and mid-30s, and went to hundreds of cities. Actually came to Houston the first time and spoke to 42,000 kids in 5 days. Wow. I did all 36 high schools. With Second Baptist here. But so I have a real motivation to do that. What's the motivation you have? Because I can see it in your eyes that this isn't just a job to you.
No, it's not. And I come from experience as well. Been there, done that too. I grew up with a disability when I was young. But again, there was no such thing as the kind of support we have now. And I really struggled in school. And school wasn't a pleasant experience for me, and I always tell my own children, I have told them, and I'll say the same thing to my my grandchildren, when you're going to school, you should be enjoying it. You should be having fun. You should be learning. That wasn't my experience growing up in a little cowboy town in Arizona where...
Page, Arizona.
Yeah, it was just... you know, literally just suck it up. I excuse my language, but that's kind of what
I understand.
We heard that a lot.
Yeah.
And so when I went to college, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And during the summer of before I went to my second year of college, I worked at a swimming pool. I was a lifeguard at a swimming pool. And the director asked me, do you want to teach swimming lessons? I said, sure. And he said, well, the students that we need a swimming instructor for are handicapped students. And it turned out to be they were a group of about 10 to 12 Down syndrome little kids. And age is about 4 to 6 years old. Wow. And I get goosebumps thinking about it now because I absolutely fell in love with it. I went from not knowing what I was going to do, not particularly happy about going to college, and so I just fell in love with that. And the joy and the fulfillment of teaching those Down syndrome little kids how to swim and just seeing the satisfaction out of them just it inspired me. And so then I went back to college, and sure enough, here comes special education, 504, legislation that has to do with, you know, supporting these kids, and boom, it clicked. And so I guess it's always been kind of, I'm a big underdog guy, you know, when I played sports, I always wanted to be on the team that had kind of not the best athletes because I wanted to beat the best athletes. You know, I kind of like being the underdog and succeeding. And so I guess it's the same thing of, I feel like these types of students, individuals have been considered underdogs, but I don't see it that way. I see it as not a disability, but an ability. I always tell parents, your children are your child, your student, is just a unique, they're unique. They're a unique learner. And it's our job to meet that uniqueness.
Now, some therapy is done with animals like dogs and cats. And I mean, are there therapy animals that are allowed to come to HBU?
There are. Yeah, that's a pretty sensitive topic. Yeah. They call them emotional support animals.
Emotional support.
And, you know, really that's more of an FHA, HUD thing. But we do provide that option here. But it takes some pretty thorough documentation and need for it and support for it. And so we're real careful about approving that particular accommodation. And I'm not diminishing the need for some students to have an emotional support animal. We have to be very careful about exactly how we go about approving those. But outside of campus, you know, my sister raised horses when we were growing up. And
That's a booming area in mental health, of the equestrian therapy.
Yeah, very much therapeutic. So if you've ever been around horses, there's an actual energy that they emit that just gives you a sense of strength and power. And so, you know, animal therapy is something that's very effective and I think can be very beneficial. And again, if that animal needs to come to campus with a student, then we'll talk about that. We do have some students with service animals, which is a whole different thing. An animal that actually performs a job, and they're on the job, and you know it when they're with the students.
Yeah, Anthony, a couple hundred podcasts later, the two statements I've heard independently people say the most about HBU, students or faculty, is one, it's a family. I feel like I'm at a family. That's a very unique term to associate with a university. Mm-hmm. And secondly, people care about me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these are two incredibly understated realities at HBU. How has that, and then bringing in the whole faith element, which we have so front and center here.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Christian to come to HBU, but if you are, and if you aren't, people are going to love you the same. How has the response been to this Director of Testing and Student Accommodations, how's the response been with young people?
I would like to, and I can honestly, and I was just doing our particular university assessment in my department, and I confidently feel that students and parents are very pleased with the services they get here. And I think, you know, my superiors, I had one tell me that they felt like I was doing a good job because they don't hear much complaining or that kind of thing. It's more acknowledgement of doing a good job, which, and I don't, you know, I'm not very good about boasting, and so I'm a little embarrassed to be even talking like this, but I do really innately feel like the services have been very well received, very appreciated, and I get notes from parents and students. And to be honest with you, as I've taught here and I've taught other places too, those letters, those emails, those notes, those gifts that you get now and then, that's what keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten those here either through talking with people or via an email or a card or something like that. And I do really think that, you know, when I started looking at leaving Idaho and moving down to this area, I think the one, I really enjoyed the application process for Houston Baptist University because it did ask me about my faith's journey. And I really enjoyed that part of it. And that to me, that meant a lot. And so the combination of what I do, which I think is a very giving, it's a job, but it's also part of giving back, combined with the faith aura and the message that we provide here to students, those two combined, I think, are really kind of cool and really mean a lot to students who come here. And I almost all the students that I talk to that I work with come here for the same reasons, faith and feeling like they can get the support here at HBU.
HBU has a place for you, for your son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter. It's people like Anthony Kazan that show you just the unique difference of HBU. Actually, men and women who employed, have a job, but they're spiritually motivated and they're academically trained, and they can safely guide your son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter to where they can become effective and productive. Nothing like a great education. HBU certainly delivers in that regard. Just before we go, I want you to tell us about your wife and children. And you said you have how many grandchildren?
We have 15 now.
Yeah.
And I hope I've got that number right. But our youngest daughter just had a baby, so that makes 15. When my wife and I got married, I had two kids, she had six, and so we're a combined family, and so those grandkids are spread about those eight kids. And my wife is the nicest person that I've ever known, and she's my best friend. I just feel like she's understands me and she's supportive of me. And again, she's just the nicest person that I've ever been around. And what she gives to me and to all the kids. And if it came between me and the kids, I would be walking out the door or however she wanted to get rid of me. But fortunately, it doesn't come to that. But she loves her kids and she loves her grandkids. And the devotion to me and to them is just so appreciated.
Yeah, I have triplet grandsons.
They're
three five-year-olds, and they're amazing. I know what you mean. There's nothing quite like it. Thank you so much, Anthony, for what you're doing here at HBU. We are so grateful to God you're here. We're grateful to God for those that work with you to make a difference in the lives of men and women here. hbu.edu/admissions. It's 281-649-3211. Our graduate school, hbu.edu/grad, 281-649-3269. And remember, you can be a student at HBU literally anywhere, hbuonline.com. Thank you again. Look forward to keeping up with you in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.